हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरिगौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Page 54. The word svakartanam refers to great desires. As mentioned in this verse, the glance of Lord Vishnu creates the desires of the devotees. A pure devotee, however, has no desires. Therefore, Sanatana Goswami comments that because the desires of devotees whose attention is fixed on Krishna have already been fulfilled, the Lord's sidelong glances create variegated desires in relation to Krishna and devotional service. Right? So the devotee has no needs on the material platform. There's no desire on that platform. Right? They perform their duties in connection with Krishna. So being fixed in Krishna consciousness, that means their desire is fulfilled. There is nothing more to fulfill. Being connected to the Lord, that's the perfection. Right? But when the Lord glances at them, then that glance then creates a variety of ways that they would like to serve Him. So in other words, it creates the spiritual desire to serve Him in a variety of ways. That's why Prabhupada was before using the point of the comparing it to the aspect of passion. Though it's not actually passion because it's transcendental. But the effect of passion is to give desires so that one works. But here then the Lord's glance then creates those desires to serve the Lord.
So can we say it's the same thing when the devotee, the acharya, glance to the devotee?
Yes, I would think I'd be there. Because the point is they're representing Krishna. And so that kind of support that is there then inspires one in Krishna consciousness. Yes. Yeah, it's the same principle. In the material...
There are many prayers in the scriptures about the devotee. So the thing that comes to my mind right now is that Saturn asking for Lord Narasimha's sidelong glance from the corner of the eye. So all of this... Their mentality is that they should be engaged in service as this particular this thing. Is this like some kind of a...
Yes. Otherwise, why pray to the Lord? Mm-hmm. Unless you see after asking, then he asked for a Mercedes-Benz or a motorcycle or, whatever's the popular thing. You know what I'm saying? In other words, the last I think people asked the Lord for things was back like in the 60s. Now, who knows what they're not asking. So that's why I can only refer back to Mercedes-Benz and a motorcycle. Does that make sense? I think there's some country songs. They may have a little bit more sometimes talk about the Lord. But yeah? No? So, therefore, since they're dealing, so we can see that there's a lot more happening there in that relationship interacting with the Lord. Right. So then so did we get somewhere or not sure. Okay. You're still trying to figure out the Mercedes thing.
Okay.
Huh?
No, I got it.
Oh, you got that. You didn't get the motorcycle. Yet. Okay. Thank you. In the material world, desire is a product of Rajagun and Tamagun, but desire in the spiritual world gives rise to a variety of everlasting transcendental service, right? So, everything means here is everything's based on ignorance, right? That we think we're the body, we think we're the mind, then we identify with what's around us, what's connected with the body and mind. And so that's the tamagun. Then rajagun is then something we want to gain from this, what happiness we perceive we'll gain from interacting with those things that are perceivable by our senses and that we can work with our senses. Right? So that's where rajagun comes in. It creates the variety, but because it's based on passion and ignorance, there's no satisfaction. Right? It's just, it's impossible to gain. So then, someone functions in goodness, then one is functioning in that neutral state. There's minimal material anxiety and problem, but it's not that it generates spiritual, right? Desire in that. No, it just brings one to the neutral state so the mind and senses are peaceful. And because you're doing things that are authorized by the scriptures, that means it's in line with the material energy. Material energy doesn't give you any problems. So therefore, adding more to one's, you know, peaceful existence. But the difficulty comes is that it doesn't actually satisfy the soul. Because staying in the neutral position means that the soul is from a neutral position. But because of their nature, they have to take shelter of the greater energies surrounding them. So either it's the internal or the external. So the external then won't give you satisfaction because of the passion and ignorance. And the goodness is neutral. That's just back to where they started. Right? So that means it has to go into the positive, into the spiritual. So spiritual desire. So that comes about by relationship with the Lord. By interacting with the Lord. Is that... We're good? Thus the word svakartanam refers to eagerness to serve Krishna, right? Not the mode of goodness. I mean mode of passion or ignorance. In Vrindavan there is a place where there was no temple, but a devotee desired, let there be a temple and seva, devotional service. Therefore, what was once an empty corner has now become a place of pilgrimage. Such are the desires of a devotee. Right? So it's all about service to Krishna. Not about prestige. Now we have this temple. Now we can sit down, and now we have a place where you can rest at night, and that, and then people can give us donation. No, that's not the whole point. The point is that now devotional service can go on. Otherwise, then living under a tree may not be so practical. Does that make sense? Yeah. Especially nowadays, there seems to be less and less trees. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued. All beings, both moving and non-moving, from the four-headed Lord Brahma down to the most insignificant living entity, had taken forms and were differently worshipping those Vishnu Murtis. Right? So, so everybody between, because Brahma Samhita mentions from Brahma down to the Indra Gopa, or the germs, the bacteria, the virus, like that, down to them, they're all worshipping the Lord. Right? So this is a serious scene. And Brahma can see all that. We may not be able to see that, but according to their respective capacities, with various means of worship, such as dancing and singing. Srila Prabhupada comments, innumerable living entities are engaged in different types of worship of the Supreme according to their abilities and karma, but everyone is engaged. Jivara Sarup Hoy Krishna Nitya Das. Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila 20:108. There's a few verses 108 that are very main verses. You know, that one about the nature of the holy name, and Lord Chaitanya's discussion with Prakashananda Saraswati. That's also, whatever the chapter is, it's 108. There's that. Okay. There is no one who is not serving. Right? So whether they know they're serving or not, there is no one who is not serving. It's just that an illusion due to ignorance, due to patterns that people can't see. Therefore, the Mahabhagavat, the topmost devotee, sees everyone as being engaged in the service of the Lord, right? Mm-hmm. That's how they see everyone as serving the Lord. Now, yes, and so that's why they can deal with everybody nicely. See, the Madhyama is not recommended to deal with those who are inimical to Krishna consciousness. One, it's a waste of time for them. And two, it can be a real distraction, right? Like that. But for the Uttama, see, because the Madhyama has the power to preach, but doesn't have that power to overcome that aggression to the Lord. Right? Maybe with long time of preaching, if there's some little spark, yes. But for the Uttamadhikari, they carry that potency of the Lord to deal with all living entities, because they do see them in that way as all connected to the Lord and all His servants. They're not just saying that, that's actually how they see it. Therefore, they come up to a living entity and start interacting with them. They interact with them actually on the platform of the soul. They're using the medium, of course, of their conditioning, but they're dealing directly on that platform. Because of that, it cuts through all those barriers. So that's why you may see Uttamadhikaris may preach to people that a Madhyama shouldn't preach to. You know? But that doesn't, that just shows their glory. It doesn't mean that, okay, now we can do this. Is that what it says? So that's the whole point. But whatever is there, those who are innocent, you know, those who are favorable, like this, therefore we do. Those who are inimical or those who are, we're just indifferent. In other words, it's not our time to do anything for them. Is that what it says? Only himself does he see as not engaged. Right? They see all the other living entities engaged, but they see themselves as not engaged. Because they'll see things that can be, in other words, they don't have any faults, but things that could be seen as a fault, they'll see as a fault. You know, like Madhavendra Puri, he was inquiring about the offering with enthusiasm before the offering happened. So now, if we were looking at this from the point of a fault, what would be the reason for that? Someone wants to eat the sweet rice. You know, and they can't wait until the offering's there, you know, like that. So they will see like that. So there's not actually a fault. They're interpreting secondary symptoms as faults. But their primary is always about Krishna, but that's how they deal with themselves. And with others, they will take all the secondary symptoms and see them in relationship to Krishna. And so they'll see them nicely absorbed in some sense. Because any living entity, the trees, and according to their particular treehood, are following the principle of tree-ness that Krishna gave them. And this way, then, they're serving Krishna so nicely. The tree, you know, that one there is producing coconuts for Krishna. The other one over here is producing bananas for Krishna. You know, the one over there is making thorns and keeping people from going that direction for Krishna. You know, they're doing all these nice things for Krishna. Does that make sense? Yeah. So they'll see the positive there, yes.
So what would be the benefit from Uttamji not see himself engaged?
He'll try to be more engaged. Yeah, so that's the thing, is they become more engaged because they want to please Krishna. While we, if we see, oh, I'm faulty in this and that, and I'm so useless, and I'm so disgusting, we may stop doing service because it's because I'm fabulous, that's why I'm doing service, right? You know, rather than I'm the soul, that's why we're doing service. Is that We have to elevate ourselves from a lower position to a higher position. And the topmost position is that of direct service in Vrindavan. But everyone is engaged in service. Denial of the service of the Lord is Maya. Means that's actually what's going on, because the Lord controls the material energy, then she controls all the living entities through the modes of nature. We're controlled by the modes of nature, therefore we're actually engaged in the Lord's service. But because we're not seeing it as engagement in the Lord's service, That's then where the problem comes up. That's where Maya is. Right? But it's not necessarily that this service is, you know, we can make it more favorable. That's, it can always have development. Right? There's always room for improvement. Right? So that way then we're trying to improve the quality of it. Right? So therefore, in this situation with the modes of nature, with my conditioning, how should I respond that will be most pleasing to Krishna as a person? Right? So then you can say that is service with devotion. So we have to move forward. So everyone's serving. Then it should become favorable. Then it should have that devotion. Like this, it should just move forward, progress. Okay. But the horse. Yes. Yeah. Or it's a bunch of guys with coconuts, right? Huh? We good? Yeah? Okay. Ekale Ishwara Krishna Arsha Britya Jare Jaiche Nachaya Se Taiche Kare Nritya. Only Krishna is the Supreme Master and all others are His servants. As Krishna desires, everyone dances according to His tune. So, you pick a desire how to deal with His material energy, then the modes of nature make you dance according to your choice. So that's it. Everyone is servant. Now it's just a matter of since we're going to serve anyway, then why not get the actual benefit of the service, which is that loving exchange between ourselves and the Lord. So therefore we make it positive, we move it forward. Does that make sense? Yes.
So when Srila Prabhupada says direct service, he doesn't mean between me and Krishna. That he's meaning is that it's directed towards Krishna personally.
Yes, it's directed towards Krishna personally, but it can mean we can personally interact with Krishna. It never means our relationship is direct, but you can render direct service. You know, it's just like you worship the deity. And so you're rendering direct service by offering artik and boga and dressing and bathing. That's directly, you are personally doing that. But your relationship with Krishna is not. It's that's why beforehand then you have all the, you know, you do all the purvanga karmas to establish yourself as the servant of the servant of the servant. Right? So that's why in the Bhuta Shuddhi, Gopi Bhartu Pada Kamale or Dasa Dasa and Dasaha. The Guru Punti Namaskar, the worship of the 69 items of the Guru and Garanga. So therefore, that's our connection. Then, in the Bahir Puja, then we actually do that direct service. So it can mean both. One is directed at Krishna exclusively. There's no one else that it's directed at. Means it's only to please Krishna. It may be serving the devotees, like this and that, but its only purpose is exclusively to please Krishna. Then you could say that aspect of direct. So that's pure devotional service. When it comes to that point, that becomes prema. So in other words, before prema means it's directed at Krishna, but there's a few little side things. But when it's only Krishna, exclusively, nothing else, and that position has come to focus, right? It's gone through those stages of smarana. So it's come to samadhi. Then at that point, now you can take up that direct service and be engaged nicely. But you said, yeah. And so that will then very quickly then come to the platform of prema. Because we see all the problems of that might slow down the devotional service is before that point of samadhi. Right? Because there's other things you're thinking of. But once one comes to samadhi, then we can see from there, then it goes, you know, more quickly. Does that make sense? Yeah. There are two kinds of living entities, the moving and the non-moving. Right? It doesn't say the dead and the undead. Right? It says the moving and the non-moving. Right? Trees, for example, stand in one place, whereas ants move. Brahma saw all of them, down to the smallest creatures, had assumed different forms and were accordingly engaged in the service of Lord Vishnu. One receives a form according to the way one worships the Lord. In the material world, the body one receives is guided by the demigods. This is sometimes referred to as the influence of the stars. Mm-hmm. Right? You know, that's why he says that the influence of the stars. So whatever you see is going on in the, the magazines that deal with celebrities and all that. So according to what they wear, then that's what you wear. So that's why it says here is that as influenced by the stars, right? You know, Stardust magazine, yeah, like that, right? Yeah. As indicated in Bhagavad Gita 3:27. By the words prakrite kriyamanani, according to the laws of nature, one is controlled by the demigods. So here, what are we seeing here? Yes. And then after the movie, you go out and get that same haircut and pick up the same clothes. No, but I'm saying, Prabhupada's mentioned the seeing all living entities equally, seeing everybody as servant of the Lord, that we've been hearing all through Gita and all through Bhagavatam up to now this point. Here we see he's explaining how the Uttamadhikari actually views things. Right? You know, so it's a realistic way they see. It's not just something we talk about. Is they actually see this way. So that means a living entity in a particular conditioned nature, then they've showed inclination to worship the Lord in that way. Because for them, what is the Lord? Right? The material energy. Whatever they can get from that. You know, how you say? The Lord as money, the Lord as position, the Lord, you know, any of these opulences. And so according to the one that they have shown their interest in, and according to their previous merit or demerit, then the demigods award them a particular form, that they can therefore worship Krishna in that form. Does that make sense? So, yeah. So in other words, if you see Krishna very nicely as money, then you're born into a good Marwari family, right? Because they just see, you know, money is supreme, right? Does that make sense? And if you see, how you say, the Lord is technology, then you're born into a South Indian family. Of course you make money, but, you know, someone else makes, the Marwari makes more. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's actually what's going on. But we, to our conditioning, we can't see that way, because if we say, oh, he's worshiping the Lord, then what he's doing is all right, and I like doing that kind of stuff, so therefore then one will just fade back into the material energy. Yes?
And how they don't, like, you see...
Because they're Uttamadhikaris. They only see it connected to the Lord. There's no illusion.
So we are talking about here how they view it, not how those living entities view it. Because when we say that all are engaged,
but, yes, but all are engaged in the service. But the point is that they may be engaged, have that realization, and be worshiping the Lord according to whatever their ability, whatever service an ant can do for Krishna. You know, take a particle of, you know, a grain of sugar and take it over to Krishna or whatever. Or it's just that they're following their nature in interacting with Krishna as the material energy. It doesn't matter. It covers all of that. Whether they are there in full Krishna consciousness or whether they're not. They're all acting according to Krishna's direction. So they're all serving. So he's seeing this, that all living entities, from him all the way down to the, you know, Indragopa, that they're all engaged. Right? So that's the position. He's able to see this by Krishna's mercy. Okay? All living entities are serving Krishna in different ways. But when they are Krishna conscious, their service is fully manifest. Mm-hmm. So that answers.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever state they're at, you know, in other words, if they're a microbe and all they're doing is, how are you saying, splitting for Krishna, you know? What do they call that? You know, that it's there and it goes like this and then goes off. And then, yeah, but you know what I'm talking about. So they're only doing that for Krishna, so they are serving Krishna because Krishna says that's how they do, that's how microbes do. They're doing that. Dogs are barking, cats are climbing trees, birds are flying, you know what I'm saying? Kiwis are not flying, penguins are swimming, you know, and occasionally dancing, you know, so whatever it is, that's what they're doing. Because that's what's been given for them to do.
And humans?
Huh?
And humans?
Humans, they're supposed to be following the Vedic culture in line with Krishna consciousness. But if not, according to their appreciation of the 8,400,000 species and their application of that within their human form of life, then they will then, you know, so they'll be under those modes that will then award them the position that they'll get, you know, now as that penguin. Right. Yeah. So you have to be careful. If you're always wearing suits and you always keep turning down the AC, be careful. Yeah. And you like sushi. Okay, so all living entities are serving Krishna in different ways. Right? Because there's the primary creation that is defining all 8,400,000 species, the various situations within the universe, that's all defined by Krishna. So the secondary creation of Brahma is simply living entities accepting those forms and then following that padati. That's what's going on. So technically they're all worshipping the Lord, but when they're Krishna conscious, then their service is fully manifest. But in any case, even they're not, even they're a demon, still they're following the path of demonness according to how Krishna directs. You know what I'm saying? That's the way it is. They're always the... Does that make sense? That's... Yes.
So when you say about the primary creation and the secondary creation, so everything has been defined in the primary creation and the secondary, the living entities in the secondary creation, they follow. So obviously, whatever they are serving, there is no independence. There is simple dependency.
No, the living entity is dependent. That's why it also says, that's why Ekale Ishwara Krishna Arsa Britya. So everyone is dependent. Krishna is the only one who is independent.
Yeah. So they are forcefully serving.
You want to go there. Okay. So they're forcefully serving. But do they not have a choice how they will deal with the situation? They do. So how can you say that it's you know, by force? It means they make their choice, that's the way it goes. Do we complain when you go to a restaurant and you choose something on the menu? First of all, do you complain, why do I have to go to this building to get that food? Why can't I just here anywhere on the street get that food? Why am I forced to walk into the restaurant to get food? Why can't just anywhere I'm standing anywhere just food should be available? Why am I forced to walk into the restaurant? Right? First point. Second point. Why am I forced to only order things that are on the menu here? Why can't I order anything? I walked into this place. Okay, it's a pizzeria, but it just happened to be nearby and I know the place. But actually, I'm interested in Mexican food. Why do I have to get, you know, Italian food here? You know, and right? Why can't I just get anything I want? You know, why am I forced? Second, then next thing is, that I'm first, okay, it's Italian, okay, but why these things? Why not something else? You know what I'm saying? It's a pizzeria. I want tiramisu. Right? They don't have tiramisu. Why not? It's Italian. You know? You know what I'm saying? Then, once I do choose what I want off the menu, and then they bring it to me, now do I make a whole scene? Why is it I have to accept this? You know, why are you bringing me this? You know, just because I ordered it, does that mean now, you know? Do we have problems with any of this? No. Like that. I decide to move to L.A., right? Okay. Then it was my independent choice, right? So now, am I being forced to live there? You know what I'm saying? So you understand is that everyone makes their choice, and then the results they live. But who gives the choice? Krishna. Who gives the results? Krishna. But we can choose. But still, it's within there, and therefore we have to act according to his directions. Right? You want to eat something, you put it in your mouth and chew and swallow. You don't like put it in your ear or put it into your navel, right? Only babies can do that. Right? You know, I think babies absorb more nutrition through their skin than they do from the, you know, like that. But as you grow up, that system doesn't work anymore. That's why you have to just exclusively put it in your mouth. Right? No? Yes. So, Krishna defines how it works. So in this way, they're all serving. Is that okay? Yes. Okay.
Okay. We can move it even further. As devotees, that's what we always say, that we are devotees, we do devotional service, therefore everything we do is devotional service.
Yes.
Direct or indirect?
Yeah, direct, indirect, and favorable and unfavorable. You have to look at the whole thing. Because Krishna defines everything. So he's defining what's direct and indirect, what's favorable, what's unfavorable. So that knowledge has been given to Srila Rupa Goswami, and then according to that, the Acharyas then have given it to us. Yes?
When you said that everybody is in the room, they are serving the Lord, do we mean more like on the material laws of nature, or as an attitude they are pleased to do not?
No. Following the modes of nature.
Yeah.
But when they become Krishna conscious, then it switches, and now that whole process becomes spiritual. But otherwise, until they become Krishna conscious, it's material. You know, it's just like, let's say, the person's in the prison. They're wards of the state, they're actually serving the state. So they're sitting there, and I don't know what they do these days, but, you know, the cliche is making license plates. Right? So they're doing that for the state. So they're serving the state. They follow, you know, when they say they get up, they get up. When they go to sleep, they go to sleep. What cell they stay in, what they wear, what they eat, what they do. It's all, so in that way, they're serving the laws of the state. So they wouldn't serve them voluntarily outside, so now they're forced to serve. You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole point, is but they made their choice. And now whether they want to cooperate with the arrangements of the prison or not, that's again their choice. Right? And then they're solitaire. You know? So they have the different aspects that are there. So it's meant every living entity is serving God's, you know, under God's direction.
Yes.
Now, and in that we have freedom to choose at any point whether we want to take part in the spiritual or material. And then within finer points of that, then what's presented to us. Within the spiritual, what's presented, then we make our choices how to engage that in Krishna's service. Or if we choose not to serve Krishna, then what opportunities come up, then we decide how we're going to use them, you know, for ourselves. Like that. So in that way, everybody's serving. So that's why then the Krishna conscious movement, the preaching movement, is how to make people Krishna conscious, so this service that's already going on then is taken to the further step. Does that make sense? So everyone's serving. You know, that's the point.
Now,
yes.
If you want not to serve means we want to become impersonalist.
Yes, but even then you still have to serve the path of impersonalism. because Gyanamoy is given by the Lord. The five levels of consciousness are given by the Lord. So if you choose Vijnanamoy and therefore to merge into Brahman, still the Brahman is Krishna. The process to get there is Krishna. The soul who's trying to merge is Krishna. Mahakalapura is still governed by Krishna, and so it's still by his arrangement. And how that'll work out? You'll be there for X amount of time, then you'll come back to the material world. Is that? As a flower in the bud gradually fructifies and yields its desired aroma and beauty, so when a living entity comes to the platform of Krishna consciousness, the beauty of his real form comes into full blossom. That is the ultimate beauty and the ultimate fulfillment of desire. So the living entity, then from this aspect, they're serving God, which they're all doing, is just there in the bud form. But as they come in contact with Krishna consciousness, then that can expand, and then it can gradually come into full bloom. So that full bloom, that's prema. But that's why bhava is considered a bud, and then it blooms as prema. So, Sugadeva Goswami continued. All the Vishnu Murtis were surrounded by the opulences, headed by Anima Siddhi, by the mystic potences, headed by Aja, and by the 24 elements for the creation of the material world, headed by the Mahat Tattva. When Lord Brahma saw that Kala, the time factor, Swabhava, one's own nature by association, Samskara, reformation, Kama, desire, Karma, fruit of activity, and the Gunas, the three modes of material nature, their own independence being completely subordinate to the potency of the Lord, had all taken forms and were also worshipping those Vishnu Murtis, right? So, in other words, all these living entities are serving under all of these points. And these points themselves, as personified, are worshipping the Lord. Right? So that's then we can get a pretty direct idea, everybody's serving. Because everybody's serving the Lord through the details of the material energy, and all those details of the material energy, they are all then serving the Lord. So, Srila Prabhupada comments, no one but Vishnu has any independence. Right? It means we have desire, but we don't have independence. Because we have desire, but that desire to be fulfilled has to be fulfilled by Krishna's energies. We can't fulfill it ourselves. Otherwise, if we are, then what's the problem? You want something, you'd have it. But we want something, we don't have it. We have to go out and try to get it. And the problem is everybody else wants that also. So then it becomes more of a problem. If we develop consciousness of this fact, then we are an actual Krishna consciousness. We should always remember that Krishna is the only supreme master and that everyone else is his servant. Ekale Ishwara Krishna Adar Sabritya. Be one even Narayan or Lord Shiva, everyone is subordinate to Krishna. Shiva Vridinchi Nutam. Even Baladeva is subordinate to Krishna. This is a fact. Ekale Ishwara Krishna Adar Sabritya Jare Jaiche Nachaye Se Taiche Kare Nritya. Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila 5.142. One should understand that no one is independent, for everything is part and parcel of Krishna and is acting and moving by the supreme desire of Krishna. So even when Krishna expands to take care of his desires, he's still serving himself. So Baladeva, even though he's expanded from Krishna and takes care of everything under him, he's still only doing that to please Krishna. Then Vasudeva then expands from Baladeva, and then he's only then taking care of things to serve Krishna. And then the Chaturvyuha then expand from him just to please Krishna. Right? So then they're pleasing Vasudeva, pleasing Baladeva, pleasing Krishna. And then the Chaturvyuha, then they expand into the 24, who are serving the four, who are serving Vasudeva, who's serving Balaram, who's serving Krishna. And then if you go the other way, then Mahavishnu is there serving serving Sankarshan, who's serving Vasudev, who's serving Baladev, who's serving Krishna, and then Garbhadakshai Vishnu is serving Haranadakshai, Kiradakshai is serving Garbhadakshai, who's serving like this. You understand? So it all goes back to Krishna. That's why it always says about Krishna. So it's not that, oh, we have, this is just the way it is. It's just the fact. Mm-hmm. That's how it functions. So, if one complains, but in Vaikuntha, then they have this different attitude. But what is the flavor of Vaikuntha? What's the rasa? Dasya, but what's the overall mood in which that's seen? Aishwarya. Aishwarya goes up to what point? To Mathura. Right? That's where it ends. Who's in Mathura? Vasudev, Sankarshan, Prajumna, Aniruddha. Right? The original. Right? Does that make sense? So, and who's above them? Then Vasudev or Mahanarayan. So they see up to that point. So what's beyond that point? Is there any Aishwarya after that? No, it's only sweetness. So therefore, Balaram and Krishna, that aspect is the sweetness. So since sweetness is not their understanding, and they can only perceive of Krishna and Balaram as the aspect of it may be some sweetness, but it's still within the concept of Mahanarayan's opulences and grandeur, that he even has pastimes of sweetness. But it's him having these pastimes because they can't see outside of that. Does that make sense? So, therefore, then they see from that perspective that Mahanarayan is the top and there, but which Krishna and Balaram technically are they dealing with? They're not dealing with Swayam because that's Braj. Right? So they're dealing with Vaikuntha aspects. They're dealing with the 999 in the day of Brahma. We're dealing with the one in the day of Brahma. You understand? Yes.
When we talk about Krishna Lila, that's pure sweetness in Braj. When we talk about Chaitanya Lila, in here, can we say it's the same, just Audarya aspect is more?
Yes, it's sweetness, but. So now in sweetness, then in Braj you're going to have rasa. Right? And of the rasas, then what are they?
Three main,
okay. And of the three main, then is there a hierarchy? So then in Vrindavan, actually the whole point is it's all in assistance to the conjugal. And conjugal is also known as, it's known as Madhurya, but it's also known as Karunya, which means mercy. You understand? So it's the essence of the Ladini Shakti that is there. So it's not a different thing. It's because of that, that's why we're preaching. Otherwise, then we'd be looking at it, why do these rat bags deserve to, you know, come in contact with Krishna consciousness? Let them rot in hell, right? But because of the Audarya, then we're given a different perspective that no, that's not correct. Right? All living entities are Krishna's servants. They're all serving. They just don't know. And because of that, then their service is not developing nicely. They're not becoming Krishna conscious. If it would, then their natural position as a living entity would then bloom and then come to the platform of prema. So it comes from that position. So it's because Lord Chaitanya has taken the mood of Radharani, then even though people are not actually interested in Krishna consciousness, see, Vikarmi, as he is, he's serving Krishna in his position without being Krishna conscious. And Krishna reciprocates according to that. That's how it works. That's why it's service. But, and he'll go on like that, just going through the cycle of samsara. But the devotee will come and interrupt this, you know, yes, the service, and make them aware of that attitude's also important in service. You know what I'm saying? But how does that come? Because the devotee. And of devotee, then that means it's going to go up to Radharani. And Lord Chaitanya is taking whose move? Therefore, that's the whole point, is that you can't get liberated without Krishna, but you can't get Krishna's mercy without Radharani's. You understand? So here then is Lord Chaitanya, then everyone can be delivered. Right? Because when Krishna performs his pastimes, not everybody becomes attracted because they don't have the piety. So those who don't have the piety, that's where then Lord Chaitanya goes to them, knocking door to door, you know, and then they become Krishna conscious. Okay. One should understand that no one is independent, for everything is part and parcel of Krishna, and is acting and moving by the supreme desire of Krishna. Oh no, is it? Yeah, that's where we are? Yeah, okay. This understanding is consciousness, is Krishna consciousness. Yastu Narayanam Devam Brahma Rudrari Daivatahi Samadvenaiva Viksheta Sapashandi Bhavet Dhruvam. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila 18.1.16. A person who considers demigods like Brahma and Shiva to be on an equal level with Narayana must certainly be considered an offender. No one can compare to Narayana or Krishna. Krishna is Narayana, and Narayana is also Krishna. Okay, so, in that way, then, Narayana is Krishna, so that they see that he's the top and that's it. It's not actually a problem. It's not offensive. It's just they can only see that mood of Aishwarya of Krishna. So, therefore, Krishna in the mood of Aishwarya is Narayana. But they don't know that, but that's because they can't see that aspect of sweetness in its original state. Okay? So, yeah. For Krishna is the original Narayana. Brahma himself addressed Krishna, Narayanas tvam nahi sarvadehinam. You are also Narayana. Indeed, you are the original Narayana. Right? So he thinks he's just a kid, but this kid is Narayana. In fact, he's the origin of Narayana, because otherwise he's getting all this to happen. Kala, or the time factor, has many assistants, such as Swabhava, Samskara, Kama, Karma, and Guna. Right? Yes. Swabhava, or one's own nature, is formed according to the association of the material qualities. Karanam Guna Sango Shyas Sarasat Yoni Janmashu. Bhagavad Gita 13.22. Sat and Asat Swabhava. One's higher or lower nature is formed by association with the different qualities, namely sattva-gun, raja-gun, and tamagun. We should gradually come to the sattva-gun so that we may avoid the two lower gunas, right? So we have a nature, but that nature can be used in a higher capacity and a lower capacity. So the lower one should be given up so we can function in the higher capacity. But the only reason to function in the higher capacity is to serve Krishna. So by serving Krishna, that will start to purify these lower aspects of nature so that we can function in the higher aspects. So since we're going to serve Krishna, offer everything to Krishna, we want to offer the best, so that our higher nature, not our lower. Right? Because the lower nature doesn't have so much importance. Right? So, we should gradually come to the sattva guna so that we may avoid the two lower gunas. This can be done if we regularly discuss Srimad Bhagavatam and hear about Krishna's activities. So by being absorbed in Krishna, that will remove the lower modes, or the effect of the material energy. Nothing else will. We try to be good, nice, you know, go on internet, what's the latest trend and all this, try to, you know, develop that mentality. It'll never happen. You know, listen to, hundreds of, how you say, videos on the subject, and that it won't happen. Right? Slowly, slowly, something you can a little bit bring out this or that, but it's still the lower nature is still there. But by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, one actually gets purified, so the lower nature actually goes away. And then you engage the higher nature in Krishna's service. But because it's Krishna, then at any stage one can be engaged. So it doesn't that doesn't matter. Nashtaprayeshvabhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, Srimad Bhagavatam 1:2:18. All the activities of Krishna described in Srimad Bhagavatam, beginning even with the pastimes concerning Putana, are transcendental. Therefore, by hearing and discussing Srimad Bhagavatam, the Rajaguna and Tamaguna are subdued, so that only Sattvaguna remains. Then Rajaguna and Tamaguna cannot do us any harm. Right? The idea is given that the serpent, even though it's poisonous, if the fangs are broken, it's of no danger. Poison's still there, but it's not dangerous. So the modes of nature may still be there, but they can't have effect because you're situated in Krishna consciousness. So they stop working. Because it's Krishna who will save us. Krishna kills the demons. Right? We just have to surrender.
Only one detail.
Yeah, only one detail. Just surrender. Small little detail. Varnashrama Dharma, therefore, is essential. For it can bring people to Sattvaguna, right? So you're practicing Krishna, you're hearing about Krishna from Srimad Bhagavatam, therefore you try to situate yourself according to the Varnashram system. And how is that done? Now, so why is that an advantage? Because duties, that's considered mode of goodness. Right? When you do the duties because there's to be done, that's mode of goodness. When you do the duties because of the material benefit you'll get from them, that's the mode of passion. When you don't bother with the duties and you just want whatever you want for yourself, that's the mode of ignorance. Right? That's why passion's a little better, because there is some understanding of the actual laws of nature. Well, tamagun means you don't understand the laws of nature. So, that's why they go together. Not that varnashram is important for any other point. It's important because it situates one in goodness. Then from the point of goodness, it's easier to maintain Krishna consciousness than when you're in passion or ignorance. You know what I'm saying? One tends to forget Krishna in passion and ignorance. While goodness, it's more able to appreciate. Varnashram Dharma, therefore, is essential, for it can bring people to Sattvaguna. Tada rajas tamo bhava kama lobha Dayaschaye, Srimad Bhagavatam 1:2:19. Tamagun and Rajagun increase lust and greed. Yeah, because Tamagun, you want lust, because the point is, what's ignorance? It's the opposite of knowledge. Real knowledge is Krishna's position, our position, our relationship with Him, therefore we would serve Krishna in devotion. So that's love. Right? But if that's not taken, that becomes perverted, it becomes lust. So it's the mode of ignorance. And then we have that mode of ignorance, then we want more ignorance. That's greed. That's the mode of passion. So much ignorance I have, so much more I will get. Yes.
Maharaj?
Yes.
Can you explain this put in the form saying that Varnashram Dharma can bring the people to Shuddha Sattva?
Varnashram Dharma can't bring them to Shuddha Sattva. Varnashram Dharma is a tool to bring them to Shuddha Sattva. Just like this. Will the Tava, right? You call it a Tava? Tava. Yes. Will the Tava cook a dosa?
Yes.
Really? That's fabulous. I'm going to go out tomorrow and buy myself a tava, stick it in the kitchen, and every morning I'm going to enjoy dosa. So if I want paper dosas, I have to get a big tava, right? One of those big kind of, what do you call it? The restaurant kind, you know, what's
thinking.
Tavas.
Sorry? They're called tavas. Specialist tavas.
Okay. Oh, okay. So my mistake. Sorry. I thought it was a rig. So you have a dosa tava. Like you want the flat ones, you don't want the other ones like that. Okay, so if I have a dosa tava, then I have dosas every day. Because the tava makes dosas, right?
We want that tava.
Yeah, no, we want to. Everybody here will order one of those, unless you hate South India. Raise your hand just to make sure. So you, the two of you don't want. Huh? We want. Okay. They raised an extra. They didn't care whether it was what. We just want one. Just stick there on the side. Come back from Japa in the morning. Have doses like that. Then go back, you know, to Darshan and that. Come back after the Bhagavatam class and like that. And I assume then they can make any kind. They can make the butter doses, masala doses, you know, paper doses, and all that kind of thing. Probably they could also make adai also, no? Yes. Yeah, okay. Well, adai is good, no? Now the problem comes is the dosa tava will only make the doses. Now what about the sambar, the coconut chutney? So that I'm going to have to get one of those funny little stainless steel pots that super high sides but very small bottom. Well, that's rasa, right? A little bit bigger for the sambar. And then I have, right? Yeah? You're convinced of that. You're sure. Because everybody here would love to see it. So in your house, is that how it works? Because if it is, then let us know. Just tell us where you're staying. Everyone will show up. You know? Like Draupadi's Tava, it just makes no sense. You know? So how does the Tava make doses?
Mystery. It's a mystery.
Yes, yes, especially for the boys, right? They all think, I don't know, just there's doses. You know? How does it happen?
You have the batter.
You have the batter. And the Tava made the batter. Made the ingredients, made the batter, made everything. So you have to make sure that you... Then how does the batter get on the tava? With a spoon. And the spoon has to be held by a hand, so you got to get the dosa tavas that have the hands on them. No? That's only in... what do you call it? Beauty and the Beast, right? Okay. So how does it work? It means how is the dosa happen?
With the fire, the person.
You have the person. So it means the tava is actually not doing the work.
Both are doing the work.
The tava actually does work, or it just exists.
Yeah, it exists.
Okay. But it's because of the effort of the tava, that's why you get the dosa, or it's the effort of the person using the tava that gets the dosa.
The effort of the person.
Effort of the person. Okay. So now, if taking this understanding there and we shift it over to Varnashram, does Varnashram produce Sudarshatva?
It produces dosas.
Yes. That's in South India. North India, you know, then it'll make a, how you say it? Yeah, no, but what are those called? Tandoori parathas, right? And gobi masala. Right?
It depends upon the person who is using Varnashram.
It depends on the person. So, therefore, to get pure goodness from Varnashram would require a person in pure goodness. Right. And so then, that means Varnashram itself is not actually producing the pure goodness. It's a situation in which someone who has pure goodness could therefore act, just like the tava could produce a dosa if the person using it knows what they're doing. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. Otherwise, if like El Kabang is using it or something, then you'll end up with something different than a dosa, maybe a lump on your head, but you won't get a dosa. Right? Does that make sense? Okay. So, does that make sense? So Varnashram is the perfect tool to use in Krishna consciousness to bring people to the Sattva Guna because they're following the duties under order of Guru Krishna and, you know, like this. So that, and from that position, from goodness, they can get to pure goodness. Right? So that's the whole idea, is that that's why it's used. It's not that the system itself, otherwise, just as a practical example, how many smartas do you know situated in Shuddha Sattva? No one. But they follow Varnashram better than anybody. You understand? So that's the point. It can only establish goodness. It's because of the association of devotees that individual practicing Varnashram comes to pure goodness. Right? And if you say, okay, well, if it's just the associated devotees, I don't need the Varnashram, I can just associate with devotees. But how do you define association of devotees? What you will do with those devotees? Okay, so go to Mangalarti, chant your japa, take darshan deities and this and that. And then what? What about the rest of your day? How will you take advantage of that Shuddha-Sattva association? So, to be able to apply that Shuddha-Sattva association in all the rest of your life of indirect activities, that's Varnashram. Because the direct activities we do, that's defined by Pancharatra. Right? And why Pancharatra? Because we're not pure enough to follow it just straight on the Bhagavad platform. Right? Bhagavad just means you're always hearing and chanting, so there's no rules. There's no time for chanting japa, because you're always chanting. But because we don't always chant, therefore the Pancharatra then recommends you get up early and you chant early in the morning. Right? You should chant all day, but at least that, if you're only going to chant once in the day, chant at that time. Because at that time you can actually focus more and not be distracted. But, you know, you go to the office and start chanting, then you might be a touch distracted. Okay.
So, Srila Rupa Goswami in Upadeshamrita, he says the Dati Prati Purnati. So, under which category does that, you know, exchange goals?
That is part of the Bhagavad. But it will be regulated by Pancharatra for us and then by the Vedic. Is that you sit and discuss, you know, you're exchanging gifts, you're talking confidentially, you're taking prasad, all these different things, but then what would be the things to discuss? What would be the things to talk about? And what times would you do? Like during Mangalarti, is that the time when you know, Dadati brought, you know, the Bhunte Bhojayate, you know, like that, you know. Does that make sense? You know, so these are then defined by that, and then, you know, how you would go about that, you know. So then, you know, it's just like, you know, you have a pot of halva, you don't climb inside and start eating, you know. You sit outside, someone's taken, it's put on your plate, you don't reach inside and get more, someone serves. So that's why all these things are there. But it will be the Bhagavat platform. But for us, then it will be defined in detail by the Pancharatra and Vedic, so that we know. So those are all, the Vedic and the Pancharatra are simply the forms used by the Bhagavat. But they come spontaneously in the spiritual world. Right? But for us, we have to be guided what they are. And therefore, then they're documented for us. But it's not that it just happens that it's coming down because of what Krishna wants. Who knows fully what Krishna wants on anything? Radhara, right? And then for her assistance, then that's how it comes down to us. Does that make sense? So everything is known. So that's why, even though it's spontaneous, because it's inherent, it's still taught. Right? So the 64 arts is taught by Srimati Radharani. And therefore, assistants, then they know all these things. Is that like that? But it's Bhagavad. It doesn't require the Pancharatra to regulate it. Right? It doesn't require. But to enhance the form, the taste of it, there the form is there. Right? That's the feminine aspect. The desire is there of Krishna, that's the principle. Then the secondary means the feminine, that's the form in action. Right? And so then that can be spread. That can be taught. But that's its inherent reason that it's there. So therefore, the formalizations of it are only because it enhances the devotional service. That's why then in Vrindavan, they're cowherds, so they follow the duties of a cowherd, because it, then it brings out that taste that they can have and interact with Krishna. Is that? Yeah. So then that itself, how to improve the quality of that, it's taught. Right? So what is taught in all that, that's what's given to us. But it's come from the original spontaneous affection of Srimati Radharani and the residents of Vrindavan. So everything goes back. So that's why there's not a problem with following the Vedic, because they follow the Vedic, but they're the source of the Vedic. Right? So in other words, their love for Krishna is why those activities are done and how they're done. But then Krishna, and what are they doing? They're fulfilling Krishna's desire. Right? So then Krishna gives the Veda. And so that'll be according to his desire. And it'll be according to the methods, how the devotees fulfilled those desires. Right? So for Krishna, he's pleased, means let's say he's hungry. So how Mother Yashoda arranges the food, what she feeds him, that's what he finds nice. Because of her devotion, then she arranged things in this way. So they sat down in lines, they were served like that, that's how she arranged it. Krishna likes that. So now what's he going to give to us? The system how Mother Yashoda used. Therefore you sit down in lines and you do like this and that. Right? And where do you start? You start from the head and then you go down like that. Right? So Nanda Baba will be sitting there, his other brothers will be sitting there, anybody else, then Krishna and Balaram and the other cowherd boys and that. Manu Mangala will sit on this side. You know, the others will be on that side. Does that make sense? So it's according to that order now. Now, should anybody get up from that line if Nanda Baba hasn't, you know, like, it's officially the meal's over and now everybody's getting up. Should anybody get up on their own? No. That's why there's the rule, you know, that until the head of the line gets up, no one gets up. You know what I'm saying? So it's how the devotees in their rasa please Krishna, that's what becomes defined as the practices of Shastra. Does this make sense? So they're the source of it, but it gets defined in Shastra, and then in the Gokul pastimes they're following it because it's the Shastra. And in Goloka they think according to the perspective of Gokul. So they think they're just human beings and they have to follow all these things that the Shastra says. Yes, so that's the uniqueness. That's why only devotees can understand these things. Non-devotees can't understand. So that's why then Varnashram is recommended, because it's fair, it keeps you in goodness. What does goodness mean? You follow the Shastras. What are the Shastras? How Krishna likes it done. And who does things how Krishna likes it done? That's the devotees. So therefore, Varnashram is the perfect system to use. Because they all use it. But only for that purpose, because of its supportive devotional service. Varnashram on its own, we're not interested. We're only interested because of its service to Krishna. Yes?
May I ask, how does the Avadhuta fit into all this? Is he in Goloka? Avadhuta.
Because how does he fit in? But doesn't the term Avadhuta means he doesn't fit in?
Yeah, that's why I ask.
But he doesn't fit in here, but does he fit in there?
Yeah, does he fit in into Goloka and down?
Because why wouldn't he?
Well,
why is he in Avadhuta? Right, we're not talking any clinical reasons here. Does that make sense? So he doesn't fit in here because he has no interest here and he's not there for making any endeavor here. So where does his interest lie? It's not a trick question.
I
is in Krishna. So he's absorbed in Krishna's name, form, qualities, and pastimes, that he's so absorbed that he doesn't even notice what's going on here. Therefore, he's an avidhi. But he's fully absorbed in what's going on there. So he's perfectly taking part there, but here he's not. Does that make sense? So he's acting as an uttamadhikari, and he doesn't need to do anything, because there is no duties. The soul is service to Krishna. The conditioned nature is not part of the soul, so he has no obligation to it. You understand?
Does it mean that he, in the spiritual world, in his meditation, he is following one ashram there instead?
He's following devotional service there. We call it varnashram here. There it's just devotional service.
But it will be according to varnashram, as you say, because devotees...
It'll be according to devotional service. Okay. See, sarva dharmam parityaja means what? Giving up all religion. Mam ekam sharanam braja. Surrender to Krishna. Right? So, what does that mean? It's about the surrender of the devotees in the spiritual world to Krishna. That's what they do. That's the primary. Then, as secondary, they engage in their activities, which defines varnashram. Does that make sense? Because they're simply pleasing Krishna. Krishna likes to be pleased in this way. So therefore, varnashram comes from him. They're just manifesting it. But it's not according to varnashram, it's according to Krishna's pleasure, which happens to be varnashram. You know what I'm saying?
Still, I don't understand how. In the spiritual world, there is nothing such as an avadhuta operating, I guess.
Not unless that's the pastime, but otherwise, no. But why do you need an avadhuta there?
Yeah, that's the point.
So you don't need one. One's an avadhuta here because one's not here, one's there. Physically, the body's still here, but you're there. That's an avadhuta. Okay? Tamagun and Rajagun increase lust and greed, which implicate a living entity in such a way that he must exist in the material world in many, many forms. That is very dangerous. One should therefore be brought to Sattva-guna by the establishment of Varnashram Dharma, and should develop the brahminical qualifications of being very neat and clean, rising early in the morning and seeing Mangalarti, and so on. In this way, one should stay in Sattva-guna. And then one cannot be influenced by tamagun and rajagun. Right? So, remember just what was being said in these things before, and how he's showing Krishna, and how he's showing the uttam position that we haven't really seen Prabhupada bring out the detail before, but still in this position, he's still, for us, showing that we still have to use varnashram. Right? So this is, we always have to remember, is latter instructions then become more prominent than previous instructions. Right? So this is latter instructions. In fact, this is the last chapter of instructions. So it's still being emphasized here. So that means it doesn't go away because now we're Paramahamsas. Is that right? Yeah.
Prabhupada also gives an instruction that for those who preach, they can live in the cities. For those who want to live, they should live in the villages. So sometimes this argument is also taken by those who feel that in the city it will be difficult to live in Sattva-guna.
So live in Sattva-guna. But Prabhupada said preach. He didn't say live in passion and ignorance. Oh, you mean you're talking about those who go there to preach feel it'll be a problem?
No.
It means the grihasthas, it should be out in the village who... Yeah. Are attached to staying in the big bad city.
That is the argument that is used for those who really want to live in that mode. It is difficult in the city. Rather, so there is a movement which is, in one sense, encouraging people to go and live in the places which...
I mean, to move outside of the city. The whole point is if they can do it nice, it may take a few generations to get that. Because the whole point is I don't know how much percentage of India is living in the cities now.
75%.
75%. In the cities. Because it used to be 80% was in the villages in 20. So now it's up to 75 in the cities. So it means even back in the 70s, it was 80% was in the village. So it just means, in other words, life could go on very nicely out there. You don't require more people. The city is only important for those who have to basically work on the government level and you know, the backup of that, and then taking care of all those who are working in that position. Right? The Kshatriya will be living in the city, and then from that there'll be so many others that will make up the whole government and then everything to support the government. Because you have that, you still have to have, you know, Brahmins, you still have to have businesses and everything else like that, you still have to have Shudras. So there will be a very large scene going on around the Kshatriyas. But otherwise, the Brahmins, Vaishya, Shudras don't actually need cities. It turns into a city because the Kshatriya has so much to deal with in administration. So it's a bit bigger than a village. That's hence the city. Right? Because when we talk about Vedic cities, who's in the city? Right? Krishna in Dwarka, you know, Mathura, you know, Yudhishthira in Hastinapur. Like that. You understand? So the point is everybody else doesn't need to live there. Just those who are involved in that environment, then they can be there. So technically, nobody needs to be there except those individuals. So if you can get them to do that, then nice. Why not? So basically it comes down to this. If you're in the city, start preaching. If not, consider moving out to the village. You know what I'm saying? Tada rajastamo bhava kama lobha dhyaschaye cheta eter anavidham stitam sadve prasidati. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.19. The opportunity for this purification is the special feature of human life. In other lives, this is not possible. So the point is Varnashram is the special feature of human life. Not just those in India. No, those in India can appreciate it more, the more essential points of it, and therefore then they should see that they are preaching, right? Because it mentions, it doesn't say India, it says Bharatvarsha. So however much of the planet is Bharatvarsha, they're the ones who should take it more seriously. Right? Because they have that association and seeing it in its proper form. Does that make sense? So it's not that it can't be practiced elsewhere, because we know that previously the Vedic culture is practiced on all the seven continents. Right? I think someone was telling me just sometime before, I think last year, they found, you know, Vedic stuff in America. You know, probably much to their annoyance, but they found. You know, it'll come up in the news and you'll never hear about it again. Just like, I think they were finding full-on deities and everything in Russia. Comes up in the news, it's a big thing, you know, Indology and this, and then it disappears. Because who wants that? You know, so the whole point is that it was practiced there before, so it still can be practiced now.
The deity of Narasimha was found in Germany.
The deity of Nisshingadev was found in Germany. The one at the farm? Oh, you mean the archaeologist found it? Oh, okay, yeah. Yes, no, sorry. It wasn't. Because the thing is when you think of Nisshingadev and, you know, and Germany, they kind of go together. You know? That's just why it came up. If you had said, you know, the deity of Nisshingadev was found in France, then, you know, you don't think of Nisshingadev. But Germany, it's known for Nisshingadev. You know? It's like in Europe, when they have Nisshinga Chaturdasi, from the whole of Europe, they go there to have the festival. You know, Janmashtami they'll have in their own places, but Nisshinga Chaturdasi, they all go there. So that was that's where it came from. Right? No? Is yeah, he's from Germany, so it's authorized.
Yeah. Okay. Confirmed.
Yes. Okay. Yes, that's far out. That means as they go, they'll find more and more stuff everywhere. You know, the problem is because it doesn't fit into the way they're thinking, then he doesn't. You know, so until you start finding them everywhere, you know, then you know, then there'll be, you know, like crop circles. Is somebody putting them here? Or, you know, like that. Maybe aliens are, you know, so they're running out of pet fuel, and so then they need to lighten the craft, so they drop all the deities out or something. You know, yeah, they'll come up with some theory. Yeah, so that's the whole point. Is therefore, at any of these places, they can take part. You know, so it's not that they can't, because previously, in the same environment, then all these individuals all over the Western world had an interest in, you know, the East. You know, it was called at that time. It wasn't called Indology. It was called Orientalism, I think. Like that. And so many societies would come up and all that, and they would study these, going way back. You know? Like that. If you go back too far, they would catch them and, you know, burn them at the stake, but, you know, like that. So, yeah. So, it means it's a feature of human life, so it can be practiced by anyone in a human form of life. But as Prabhupada said, in other lives, this is not possible. It means outside of the human form, it's not possible. So you're not going to follow Varnashram. You're just going to follow the modes of nature that your particular species of life follows. Such purification can be achieved very easily by Radha Krishna Bhajan. Devotional service rendered to Radha and Krishna. And therefore, Narottam Das Thakur sings, Hari Hari Vipale, Janama Goinu, indicating that unless one worships Radha and Krishna, one's human form of life is wasted. Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojitaha Jana Yat Yasu Vairagyam Srimad Bhagavatam 127. By engagement in the service of Vasudeva, one very quickly renounces material life. Right? So therefore, since it's worship of Vasudeva, then the feature of Vasudeva given to us by Lord Chaitanya is Radha and Krishna. Hmm? So that's very good. By engagement in the service of Vasudeva, one very quickly renounces material life. The members of the Krishna consciousness movement, for example, being engaged in Vasudeva bhakti, very quickly come to the stage of being nice Vaishnavas. So much so that people are surprised that Malechas and Yavanas are able to come to this stage. I told that story, is that there's this one... following etiquette, this one gentleman in Calcutta, businessman, very successful in the business, you know, big house, big facilities, and this and that. But he was not known for his dealings and character. And so, when he became a devotee, and how he behaved was so gentle, so cultured, so many other men of Calcutta thought, what is this Krishna consciousness movement? They came forward. They wanted to be members. They wanted to be part of it. Because if it could change this guy, it must be good. So, yeah.
That's why Lord
Nityananda wanted to Lord Nityananda wanted to?
He wanted to get Jagai and Madhai.
Yes, because now you get Jagai and Madhai, that means anybody. Yeah. So that's the whole point, is that the Krishna conscious movement can make everything work very nicely. That's why it is that they're surprised. They're surprised that these things can be done, that they're going on. This is possible by Vasudeva Bhakti. But if we do not come to the stage of Sattva-guna in this human life, then, as Narottam Das Thakur sings, Hari Hari Vipale Janama Goinu, there is no profit in gaming this human form of life. So one may say, no, but I only need Shuddha-sattva. But the point is how do you practice Shuddha-sattva if your lifestyle is passion and ignorance? The point is a lifestyle of goodness engaged in the Lord's service, that's called pure goodness. So if we're always engaged in Lord's service, we'll always be engaged in activities of goodness, not passion and ignorance. There won't be any passion or ignorance in our life. Therefore, then, what lifestyle would you choose? Varnashram. Because it's the only lifestyle that's situated in goodness. No other social system on the planet is based on goodness. It's just not its purpose. Right? They never get above pranamoy. They don't get to manamoy, to dharma. So only dharma, you know, fulfills the definition of dharma. Yes? Sri Vairagyavacharya comments that each of the items mentioned in the first half of this verse is the cause for material entanglement. Kala, or the time factor, agitates the modes of material nature, and Swabhava is the result of association with these modes. Right? So time agitates the modes, we associate with that, because of that we gain our nature by that association, and that continued association that creates birth after birth, body after body. Therefore, Narottam Das Thakur says, Bhakta Sanivas. If one associates with bhaktas, then one's swabhava or nature will change. Right? So then it will come to the position of goodness and pure goodness. So therefore, now in that state, what would you do? You would follow then the Varnashram. So what is Varnashram? According to what particular psychological and physical nature you have, you'll situate yourself within the Varnashram system. And from there, you can perform your duties of pure goodness. Does that make sense? So that's how it works. That's why it's recommended.
And we will be guided by Senor.
And we'll be guided by, yes, that's the whole idea. That's why then Prabhupada says about the Brahminical standard. So we become neat, clean, and follow the Pancharatric system. Right? So from that, then that those who are advanced in that Brahminical status, then they can guide us how to situate ourselves. So, does that make sense? Yeah. Our Krishna conscious movement is meant to give people good association so this change may take place, right? Because the whole process is association. So the whole movement is about association. We can say, no, it's about preaching. Preaching means giving association. So the whole movement's about this, giving association. And then that forum we're preaching. So then preaching is a detail of that, distributing prasad, you know, having a place where people can come and get that association, going out to them in their homes and that, and showing them how to gain association in that place. These are all various angas of association. Right? Does that make sense? So depending on what you're focusing on, you'll call it by that name. Does that make sense? Our Krishna conscious movement is meant to give people good association so that this change may take place. And we actually see that by this method, people all over the world are gradually becoming devotees. So we see is in every continent and every country, devotional service can be taken up. They can practice these different things. Right? If one situates oneself in goodness. But if one doesn't follow the Varnashram, then what's your alternative? Right? In other words, Varnashram being goodness, if you don't follow goodness, where do you situate yourself? Passion and ignorance. You could say, no, but we'll just situate yourself in pure goodness. That's fine. If you can just sit down like Haridas Thakur and chant japa all day, then yeah, you don't need Varnashram. You know, you'll follow the Brahminical culture and ashram, but you know, that's it. You don't need it as occupation, because you just chant, Krishna will take care. So if you're doing that, then that's glorious. But if you're not doing that, then that means you're not situating yourself in goodness. Therefore, you're situating yourself in passion and ignorance. Varnashram deals with goodness. Everything else deals with passion and ignorance. It doesn't have another mode. Unless you're in New Zealand. Then, you know, you drop off goodness, they still have three modes, right? You know, so it still works. No? Australians call it Kiwi mode, but I'm not sure of the details, but you know. But that's the joke, is that there's four modes in New Zealand. So,
it
probably depends who you ask. The Australian would probably place it below, but the those from New Zealand would probably place it above. You know. So, does that make sense? So that is the choice that's there. That's like say, I have an apple and I have an orange. If you choose the apple, you have an apple. If you don't choose the apple, what's your choice? It's an orange. You know what I'm saying? So if you don't choose the lifestyle and the mode of goodness, which is the Vedic culture, then that leaves you with passion and ignorance. Because if you say we're Westerners, we can't follow all that Vedic stuff, Western means passion and ignorance. So how do you situate yourself in pure goodness? You can do devotional service, but the problem is the mentality will have upadis, therefore it'll be mixed. You know, sannyas won't be there in the form of that it's just for Krishna, because I'm a Westerner, so I have to include myself in this. So now, but the point is in the Western culture, how much renunciation is there? So will it actually even get to renunciation? So then it may just be, you know, karma, not karma yoga. Or it may be yoga, and no, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, but, yoga meaning the asan parts.
As for samskara.
Okay, as for samskaras.
Second, last paragraph.
Oh, okay, no, but the time's up. I was just trying to see where I was, if I had ended that last paragraph. Oh, yeah, okay, our graduate becoming the moment. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Prema. Yes, yes.
Completing all the points in the translation.
Yeah, yeah. No, but you see all of these after this, they're all long. Yeah. Huge. No, which is really nice.
Mm-hmm. Prabhupada was mainly lying in bed.
Yeah. No, he's only lying in bed. Not mainly. And they would hold the dictaphone and that way. Sorry?
Another level of consciousness.
That's the whole point, is he was unaffected. That's the meaning, that you're unaffected by the situation. So he could go on and perform his duties.
So, like, you know, while preaching is mostly done by the young devotees, and I mean, in general, teaching programs, and then the efforts to try to keep the association now mixed with the westernized type of, let's say, like flirting. Flirting is very...
Flirting.
Is that the English word?
Yeah, no, flirting is, I'm not making a connection between flirting and preaching.
It's typical for westerners. So, can it be used in service, or how it can be purified?
Flirting. Oh, I see. Means the point is that you are associating with those you should associate with, and then you have a determined relationship. So based on that, then that's how you act. Because flirting means you're putting out, opportunities. What's there? Just, you know, some to see if something can dare to just get some taste. And then if flirting goes well, then it goes farther. But the whole idea is that generally one, so it wouldn't be your main technique. Yeah, because otherwise it doesn't necessarily work out well like that, because the idea is Krishna consciousness is there, and then within that, then one can have relationships. But if one doesn't have an established the Krishna conscious concept, then you may have the difficulty that they only see these modern techniques being used and don't actually understand the Krishna conscious things that they're for. So one has to be careful.
But that kind of habit has to be like
means in other words, you engage it in the way, if it's a habit, you just on behaving properly, behaving appropriately, being pleasant, being nice. But because that's how you're supposed to deal, rather than one flirts because then you are in control of the situation. It's a matter of, no, these are the duties. That's how one does. That would be the point. So, you know, therefore you deal nicely and all that. It's not that, so to avoid flirting, then you're nasty. No, you're supposed to be nice, but because that's the rules. You know, a gentleman means they deal properly. They interact according to the etiquettes, according to things, the vocabulary they use, the tone of voice they use, the ways of interacting, you know, the situations in which you'd interact. Those are all then used in that way. Then that way, then that ability to interact with people then is properly engaged. So then you'd be using that in the mode of goodness rather than passion. Passion means you want to get something from it, so flirting means you want to gain something. But if I'm just interacting nicely because that's how I'm supposed to do, that's a mode of goodness. That's the deed. So you're simply shifting it from passion to goodness by your reason for being pleasant interaction is so that the other person will be interested in the conversation that you'll bring around to Krishna.
Right.
Like that. So like that. Is that okay?
No,
that's right. Okay.